So welcome to our show today, Friday, a show that I was intending on being a regular panel show with all of the different characters that we do. But during the pre-show, which is something that we produce for our subscribers only, I began to free associate and talk about my brother, Dara. And this past week, as you know, we have been observing a few days off for him. Now, I talk to my subscribers, I talk to the people who are, you know, BSPs, a lot more raw a fashion, a little bit rougher, certainly uncensored. But what I was talking about was from my heart, and it was about my brother. And I listened to it, and I thought, well, you know what? This is probably a pretty good show, if you will forgive the rough language you're going to hear. It is me remembering my brother with love, and it's me talking to an extended family of people who subscribe to my website, people that I've gotten to know, people that I talk to every week. We do a chat on Friday night. And so if you'll forgive the uncensored quality of this, I would like to offer this to you today as our show. Well, it is Friday on the Phil Hendry Show. And we took the week off because of the passing of my brother, Dara Hendry. Dara died at the age of 73. He had complications going on from diabetes. And I know, and I want to thank everybody, and I mean this, everybody that through the last year would say, how's your brother doing, man? You know, that meant a lot. And if you didn't do it, it doesn't mean I don't love you and care for you or anything, but it just was very cool for you cats to, you know, to check in that way. And what a weird, fucked up week this has been. But like I said, I've been, my brother Dara, by the way, will be interred at the Riverside National Cemetery. Let me look and see here. As a veteran, he's entitled to military honors, and we just received word, in fact, of the fact that Dara is entitled to military honors, and so we certainly are going to see to it that that is, see here. This is to inform you to Herbert. My brother's first name is Herbert Hendry Jr. He hated that. He preferred his middle name, Dara. That's what we called him. Verified and eligible for burial at Riverside National Cemetery. We will request military honors for Dara. And bless his heart. You know, he didn't have an easy life, man. My brother did not have an easy life. That's number one. Number two, my brother didn't have an easy life because of one guy, my brother. You know, he made life tough on himself. He was always looking for some other way, man, some easy way. I don't know, but Dara, when I think of the best memories I have, my brother Dara, or when we were all kids, he would organize hide-and-go-seek. He organized little games between the three of us, you know, Joanne, Mary, and myself. He was always, he was there for us when we were kids, you know. And he was a playful kid. And if you go to our home movies, the Hendry Home Movies on our site, you'll see Dara as a little boy. Just a fun-loving guy, man. My father was extremely hard on him, and extremely hard on him. Was never happy with anything he did, and that, I know, disappointed Dara a lot. You know, Dara becoming a submariner, getting his twin, I think they're twin dolphins, I don't know, but to become a submariner, you get your dolphins. And that, like, you know, if you're airborne, don't you get like an eagle or some kind of a pin? Yeah, pins that represent different areas of the service that you were in. For a guy in the submarine service in the Navy, he got the twin dolphins. That was something that was a major achievement, not only for Dara, but I think a major achievement for anybody in our family. And it sure as fuck was more than my old man ever did in the fucking service. My father was an Army captain in the Canadian Army in World War II, which I'm not putting that down. And I'm not, you know, I'm not denigrating that, but, you know, he was an Army guy, got promoted, bang, there you go. And to deal with, voluntarily go through the qualification process, the testing process, and then the actual training to be in the submarine service was very grueling. And I got to be honest with you, when I think of my brother Dara, and then I think of what it took, what I understand it takes to be in the submarine service, and at that time, and I'm sure that the training has evolved, but you know, we're talking about, I wouldn't be able to do it, swimming through a tube full of water so that the only air you have is your nose, and you got to get through that fucking tube, I don't know, 100 feet, jumping into burning water. Burning water. I mean, you're jumping into a space of water that's been set aflame from oil, withstanding pressure tests, seeing how much pressure you can take in this pressurized tank, you know, and still do your job. You know, guys are they had tests, you know, playing cards, things like that. When I think of all that shit, and I think of my brother Dara, I can't believe it's the same fucking guy. I mean it, and I'm being honest with you. I'm being honest with you. He just blew me away, you know? And I don't know. What else can I tell you about him? Funny as fuck. Funny motherfucker. I put on a social media, I said he was a member of the, a founding member of the Henry Sense of Humor Association. Dara was a whack dude, man. He had a really crazy sense of humor. Loved to laugh. A memory I have of Dara is at breakfast one morning. He'd been out the night before with his buddies, and I guess they were doing what guys do. And so he sat down with us at breakfast. He said, "So we're at the Ramada Inn." The Ramada Inn was down in Arcadia, you know, on Huntington Drive. And Dara went to Arcadia High School, and at that time, I guess where kids hung out was, there was the theater, there was Henry's, which was a drive-in car hop place, and they specialized in chicken, I think, and there was a Ramada Inn, or whatever the fuck, Santa Anita Inn, maybe, I forget, where you could get coffee at a coffee shop, and then down Huntington Drive there was a Vandy Camps, I think, and there were burger stands, and all of that, man, you know. So Dara and his pals are sitting in this Ramada Inn coffee shop, and he's howling. Dara's howling with laughter. We're wondering what the hell was so funny. He says he was looking at this girl and her boyfriend, and when she smiled, she had a wad of spinach stuck between her front teeth, and she was smiling at the guy. And whether that actually happened or not, I don't know, but the image of it was hysterical. Now, of course, in real life, if your girlfriend smiles at you and she has a wad of spinach stuffed between her teeth, you're going to say something to her. Otherwise, she's going to, you know, commit homicide. She'll be really pissed at you. So I don't know. Dara didn't indicate that that was the case. What he basically said was the dude was like, "Oh, shit, like this." I'm sure she smiles at you. She's got a wad of spinach between her front teeth, and the guy's, "Oh, fuck." Like that's not going to tip her off to something. That's what Dara had got a kick out of, man, you know. I first read Mad Magazine because Dara had it. I never would have read Mad Magazine had it not been for Dara. I can remember to this day the things that he liked. Doublemint Spearmint Gum. He didn't have Juicy Fruit. He liked that Spearmint Gum. And when he got back from the Navy, holy Christ, you know, as a young hippie, you know, I was coming up in the late 60s. I was only about 14 or 15 years old. But my brother had, and keep in mind, he was in the Navy for 4 years. So 65 is when he got out. And I was entering high school in 66. So, and a lot of hippie shit was starting. He came back from the Navy with the coolest shit in the history of the world, man. He had pea coats. And anybody that was a young person back then knows what I'm talking about. You know, that was kind of hippie shit. If you look at a lot of the bands back then, some of the jug bands or folk music groups, or a lot of the guys wore double-breasted, you know, those navy pea coats and those work shirts, those navy swabby shirts, the light blue kind of work shirts, which now you go and you buy those, it's almost like a designer shirt, or it's a fashionable thing, but that came from the Navy. And bell bottoms? Hello? So I had a peacoat that everybody thought was goddamn cool as shit because it was an authentic fucking Navy peacoat. I had all kinds of those work shirts and stuff that I got from him. Plus, they had the cool-ass Navy serial numbers and shit on them, you know. And then he had swabby hats up and up the fucking ass, man. My brother had all of those hats that we'd pull down and run around and look like jackasses. So he came back with all that stuff. But I'm trying to think of when Dara left high school. No, it can't be that, man. I think it was when he got back from the Navy. That was it. When he got back from the Navy, my old man took him to his office for a summer. My brother, my dad tried to teach my brother the art of sales. And forget it. If ever there was a guy born in this world that was not a salesman, it was my brother Dara. Forget it. He was, first of all, a very introverted guy. I wouldn't say introverted in that he was afraid of people. He just was a soft-spoken guy. He wasn't an outgoing guy. He's a very handsome guy. So, and he never had a problem with girlfriends, you know, finding chicks. But personality-wise, he was kind of a laid-back, you know, kind of the guy that would be sort of in the background. So him being a salesman? No way, man. But I remember one summer he got his ass out of bed. Every fucking day he'd go down to, you know, go down to L.A. with my father to his office on Beverly. And Dara, every morning, I knew, every goddamn morning I woke up to KFWB. At that time, KFWB was a rock station. It had not gone all news. And we had KHJ, we had KFWB, and we had KRLA. My brother Dara was a KFWB guy, man, because he was in high school throughout the late 50s. I think Dara graduated in 61. So the wheelhouse of his high school years was really pretty cool in terms of music. It was all Buddy Holly and Elvis Presley, and he had a lot of records. That's the other thing. When he left to go to the Navy, he left me a lot of records, a lot of 45s. That was the thing back then. There was always some cool shit. I was always going through my brother's stuff, you know. When he wasn't around, I was digging through to see what other cool shit has this dude got. I think that's the first time I ever saw a condom. In fact, I know it is. I saw this fucking thing. I said, this has got to be a fucking rubber, man. That's what we called him then. This has got to be a rubber. Look at this fucking thing. I didn't try it on. I was just looking at this thing, and then I realized, you know, I think I'd gone too far. I'd gone into the inner sanctum, you know. There's a couple things about Dara that I never knew that were kept from us. And I can tell you, you know, a vivid memory I have is of, this is how small I was at the time. There's a LA County Sheriff boot that looked to be about as tall as I was. I'm staring right at it. It's a foot. It's a boot. And I realize, well, that's a man's leg in a boot. And the boot is as tall as me. And I'm looking up, and it's an LA County Sheriff. And he's standing in our living room, and he's talking to my mother, and my mother had that typical look on her face. Oh, God, oh, gee. You know, my mom had the fucking worry lines going, man, all the goddamn time. And standing in front of the sheriff and my mother's, my brother Dara, with a hangdog look. Apparently, the sheriff had caught them in a rock quarry somewhere out in Monrovia or Irwindale, shooting off. It couldn't have just been a BB gun. Because I don't think a BB... Well, it might have been a BB gun, because Dara was only 14 at the time. So maybe it was the, you know, it was the habit of the police to just go ahead and transport the kid back home if he, you know, if he had a home, and or maybe not to juvenile hall or anything. I'm not so sure a BB gun is going to be that wicked or horrible a thing. Or maybe back then it was. I don't know. There's the other option of that is that they had an actual gun that they were firing somewhere in this quarry. I don't know. But my mother was really worried. And Dara didn't get in any further trouble, at least from the police. I have no idea what my father did when he got home. Because my dad was a real fucking asshole when he wanted to be. The other thing I remember about him, I don't remember this. I was told this later on. Two things. One, which I thought was kind of amusing, My brother Dara entered the Navy right after high school. In fact, I think he was, well, I know he turned 17 in May. So he would have graduated, he would have turned 18 in May and then have graduated in June. But he would have been 17 prior to May. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Navy took him at the age of 17, or maybe there was some, I don't know, man, maybe he lied. I don't know how he got in, but my mother was upset because she found out that Dara had enlisted in the Navy, and according to her, he was not of age. I don't know whether that is a fact or not. I know that that was her suspicion. And she's telling me this years and years and years later. I think I was in my 40s when I finally fucking heard this story. Now, the story is, that's not the story. The story is this. She got a call that summer after Dara graduated and enlisted and was now in San Diego at boot camp at the Naval Training Center. They used to have a Navy boot camp in San Diego. I don't know if they do anymore. She gets a call from a clinic in Monrovia for Herbert Henry Jr. This is his mother. Well, you know, now how they did things in those days, they probably were not always by the book and not completely, you know, 100% buttoned down on this shit. But this dude tells my mom that my brother had syphilis. And, you know, he needs to come in and be treated for that. I don't know what she did, but that must have flipped her ass out. She said, well, he's in the Navy. He's in San Diego. Now, no question, some fucking Navy doctor down there must have figured this out and during their, in the course of the physicals they take. Or maybe the clinic called the Navy or whatever. But Dara's last sort of farewell to civilian life was testing positive for fucking syphilis at the age of 17, 18. And that leads me into my next thing that I found out about Dara. When he was younger, maybe the age of 15, my parents found out, and I didn't hear this story for years, man. The shit that the stuff I found out about my family, nobody wanted to talk about, man. I had to pull this stuff out of people, and, you know, eventually you find out, but I was well on in my adult years when I finally found out a lot of stuff. Dara, when he was a teenage boy, was involved with a woman in her late 20s, sexually, had a sexual relationship going with this woman. Who she was, I have no idea. What the nature of this, you know, just exactly how this thing happened, I have no fucking clue, man. What my parents did, I have no idea. And now my parents are gone. And, you know, I didn't think to ask them. But I do know they were upset about it. That much I know because my mom told me. She said, your father and I were very upset. We found out that Dara was involved with this woman over here. This woman over here, where? You know, over there in whatever the fuck, Monrovia Duarte. And this gal, and she'd been, you know, these kind of, these references that you what the hell are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, you know, your father and I found out, and your father, holy shit, you know. Oh, wow, Dara, you maniac. I know I probably shouldn't make light of it, but I'm a guy, and other men understand what I'm talking about, and, you know, it's, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, it was totally uncool for this woman, to be taking advantage of my brother like that. But that was part of his life. That was Dara's life, man. And I think that Dara got the idea early on that he could probably get by in life that way. I don't know if that was really his trip. I do know from time to time there'd be some female that he was living with, you know, and probably living off of. You know. I think about Dara, man, some of the shit that he'd say to me, I'd have to laugh. I would fucking laugh, you know. And I say this with the greatest respect to my dear brother, who, You want to know something about him, man? He was a sometimes a dishonest guy, sometimes, you know, a confounding man, but he was a gentle person. He was a gentle person. There was no violence in him. You know, there was no real anger in him. In later years, and especially last year when he was sick, he was very cantankerous, man. He was just, he didn't like this, didn't like that, didn't like people pawing him, didn't like people hanging all over him, didn't like, you know. And I guess I can't blame him, but by the same token, my sisters, Joanne and Marianne, were doing everything they could for this guy, and all he could do was bitch and moan about it, you know. Did you get this? Did you get that? And finally, one day I was at the hospital, and I was looking at him as he was, I don't like this, and I like, and I said to him, in a way that he and I had, you know, had these sort of confrontations before, I said, Dara, chill out, man. You know, people are trying to help you. He looked at me and he gave me that look. You know, I say that Dara didn't have any real violence in him, and he didn't, but man, he'd look at you like, who are you, man? Who do you think you're talking to? You know? Because we had some, you know, serious confrontations as brothers down through the years. And so I found myself drifting back in my sort of my old thought patterns about him. Like, you know what, man, screw you. You know, you're not treating people well or what have you. But hey, you know, that was him. And I'm not so sure I would have been much different, to be honest with you. I hope that when my time arrives, people don't remember me for being an asshole. You know, I hope so. There's something a little bit better in store for me. Dara was a funny guy, though, getting back to the humor thing. We had a swimming pool, and we had a springboard, an old-style springboard. A lot of people may not know, well, what do you mean a springboard, Phil? You mean just a diving board? So, well, no, a springboard is the kind where you spring. You could literally jump on the end of it, and it would bend down and then spring way up. And it was a way to propel you through the air. And we had one. Nowadays, I don't even think diving boards are legal anymore. I don't know that they even put them in with swimming pools. I don't think I've seen one in a long time, but perhaps. A diving board is just a flat board. It does not spring. You just dive off of it. But we had a springboard, and there was one dive that my father knew how to do. Well, I should say that we were all in our own ways. We were divers. My dad taught us how to dive. And now I think about it, I don't know whether that, what was he doing? Why was he teaching us how to dive? Was he diving? And my old man must have been a swimmer and a diver in high school or something, is the best I can figure. Because he would say, come on, it's time. I remember when he taught me how to dive. Come on, get it, God, get your face in the water. Let's go. And I hated it because I always got water up my nose. I finally learned how to dive without getting water up my nose. But anyway, my old man loved to do a jackknife. That's when you jump up in the air, you touch your hands to your toes, and then you go into the water straight. And it's, you know, it's kind of a beautiful dive, I guess. My old man was nuts for this jackknife. Did it all the time. Get up there on the thing. Here comes Dad now. Yeah, it's a nice day. Let's take a swim. Jackknife into the water. Always doing this jackknife, right? Dara would sit there in a chair as my father did this and just loved to fuck with my old man right when he got to the point of touching the fingers to the toes. So, and it would just be anything.
Cowabunga.
And that would completely crack my old man up and he'd belly flop in the water. Bonsai, that was another word Dara liked a lot, bonsai. And there goes my old man belly flopping. And he had another friend who come over, this guy named Carl. I remember this guy Carl, because this guy Carl was nuts, man. This was a salesman that worked for my dad, Carl. And this dude did these somersault dives. Like, he was like a serious ass diver, you know? And this cat's doing these somersaults. There's Dara. Bonsai. And Carl, one thing, a belly flop, a back flop. Oh, man. Back flop, you know, it's like you feel it in your brain. Nobody got angry at him, though, because it was very funny. Even the people, you know, you figure a guy, you know, either you know how to dive or you don't. Either you've got the concentration to complete the dive or you don't. And some dude sitting there going, cowabunga or bonsai, if he messes you up, well, that's, you know, tough shit for you. And those are some really funny and fun memories I have of Dara and his, you know, hilarious shenanigans. I mean, watching a cat belly flop trying to go into a jackknife. To this day, I can think about it. Cracks me up. Dara went to San Gabriel Mission High School briefly. I don't know what was up with his high school years. I have no idea. But we grew up, the very early years of my life were in a part of Arcadia which bordered El Monte along Peck Road, and we went to Annunciation Church. That's kind of, when you're a Catholic, that's where you go. This is the parish that we went to in Arcadia, this suburban town northeast of Los Angeles, had its little areas, and this area bordering El Monte was where we began life, and that's where Dara graduated from grade school, and I think that's why he went to San Gabriel Mission High, because I think my parents wanted him to continue on to a Catholic high school and get a Catholic high school education. And there were a number of Catholic schools in the area when he graduated. LaSalle had just opened in 1956. There was St. Francis. There was Bishop Amat. There's a few of them, you know. Where we lived, St. Francis was not going to be happening for him. And LaSalle wasn't going to be happening either. But there was one other problem, and that was Dara academically wasn't too boogie-woogie. And I remember my father just tearing into him, man, at the dinner table, you know, and just really some harsh stuff he would be saying to him. In fact, there's a term that we use a lot on the show, or have, decapitated fly. You're, that was what my father said to my brother in terms of how many brains he had. You don't have the brains of a decapitated fly. That was my father's phrase, saying that to my brother. You know, and we'd sit there and listen to this shit. If I'd been older, and I know that now, if I'd been older, I would have told my old man to shut up. Just lay off. Just lay off. But Dara didn't have anybody to protect him, man. You know. So he sort of powered through. But he went to San Gabriel Mission, and I don't even know if San Gabriel, and I say this with the greatest of respect, I don't know if San Gabriel Mission High School is still there. It probably is. And I remember him being on the football team there as a freshman. But then that wasn't working out, and he eventually made his way to Arcadia High. And I don't think he cared two bits about football. Dara was not a sports fan at all. He watched baseball and football just to be social, you know, just to sit and watch and laugh. Years later, my father was in the hospital because he had back surgery, and Dara and I visited him pretty regularly. I mean, I remember being at that hospital just about every other day to see my dad, and there was Dara. And it was during the World Series of 81, the Dodgers and Yankees. I believe that was the 81 season was a strike season, strike shortened season. And nonetheless, Dodgers and Yankees were in the series, and we were watching the game, and Goose Gossage was on the mound for the New York Yankees. Goose Gossage was a big, badass-looking dude, man. He had a big-ass Fu Manchu mustache. He was a fierce-looking guy, big dude, threw a mean fastball. And it was all very curious because when I heard him talk, he was, "Now let's go to Goose Gossage. Goose, how are you?" "I'm doing good." "Well, you know, I'm not saying that he sounded, you know, just he had a very high-pitched kind of voice. He was a nice man." And I say he was a nice man because in this game, Ron Say comes to bat, and Gossage hit Ron Say at that place where the helmet meets the, you know, where your helmet ends and your head begins. Half of the ball literally hit the helmet, and the other half hit Ron Say's head, and he was down. And Gossage was really concerned that he'd injured Ron say. And I remember my brother saw this, and his arms went up in the air, and he grabbed his head as if to say, God, you know, I've never seen anything like that before. He kind of looked around the room, and I saw it, and it was bad. But Dara was so removed from sports and really had not watched a lot of sports that to see that man get hit with that baseball that way really blew his mind, man. And he was just, what the? Did you see that? I said, yeah. I said, does that happen a lot? You know, well, yeah. That could. I bet you he could kill. I bet you he's dead, man. I don't think he's dead because Say was, he was stunned, but he was sitting up and okay. And yeah, man, he had a, I think Dara had a real sensitivity for people, but some things really took him by surprise. Now, later on, he got out of the Navy, he went to work for my dad, and then said, F this, and tried his hand, as I suppose just about everybody in this city does at one time or another, anybody who has any aspiration to any kind of artistry. He decided he would try his hand at acting, and he took classes from Lorraine Tuttle. And Lorraine Tuttle, if you look up the name Lorraine Tuttle, am I right about that? Lorraine Tuttle, yeah. She's an acting teacher. She has, rest her soul. She had a huge, resume on IMDb. Take a look at the stuff she's done. Lorraine Tuttle was a acting teacher, and Dara would go off dutifully every day, every other day, to take acting classes, you know? And then came the day that we discovered he was living the life, man. And my dad said, well, let's go visit Dara. I said, well, where is he? Well, I got an address here. Right there on Hollywood Boulevard, man. He had an apartment right off of Hollywood Boulevard in some building, you know? In those days, they didn't have the... There's a lot of... You go down Vine, you go anywhere on Hollywood, Sunset... There's a lot of brand new apartments that are very nice. I mean, I've never been inside any of them, but the buildings are new and they look to be pleasant enough. They've got balconies and, you know, it's a real urban, it's an urban environment, but they, an attempt being made to make it a place where people want to live too. But back then in the early to mid 60s, Hollywood Boulevard, that was the beginning of a period of decay that culminated with the regeneration of Hollywood Boulevard there in the, whenever the hell it was, 90s, when they put in the promenade and all that bullshit. But Dara was down there living like a damn, you know, living like a damn actor. And my old man, you know, got with it. He was like, yeah, okay, so this is what you want to do. I don't think he gave him any encouragement. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I never saw Dara in any play or anything. But for a dude to devote himself as much as he did to it and to not have any success, you're doing the wrong thing in life, man. You know, you need to do something else. I think, and I've said this before to anybody who want to listen, the best that my brother ever did in this world was when he was in the Navy. Now, he did not like the Navy. He didn't like the military. For the same reason a lot of guys don't like it. It's too much people telling you what to do. Too many guys leaning on you and this, that, and something else. But he was successful. He had a successful career, such as it was, the 4 years he spent on active duty. And then he was in the reserves. And the thing that none of us could figure out about Dara, and I think it had a lot to do with the fact that he was depressed. I believe that was his major, this was his major challenge and the thing that he wrestled with every day, the thing that was, he got up with and did battle with. I believe he had serious depression. I know my mother did, and I know it's in my family. There's no question. And Dara got out of the Navy. And, you know, this guy never, ever, ever utilized his GI Bill, not his GI Bill of Rights, not once. Do you realize what you can get if you're out of the service with the GI Bill? You get home loans, no money down, education, all kinds of stuff. He never, ever applied for any of the benefits due to him under the GI Bill. Ever. It was like, why not, man? Why, I wonder what was going down with him. Was he afraid to? Was he? Did he not know how? I mean, these are things I'll never know about him, man. If I could ask him questions, he would always give me some bullshit answer. Hey, Derek, how come you're not going to, why don't you take advantage of the GI Bill? All that paperwork. What? I mean, that's not even an answer. So as a result, he really didn't make much of a life for himself, man, after he got out of the Navy and after he, you know, had his little fling trying to be an actor. He didn't really make much of a life for himself. And I'm not saying this to bring down any shame on him. I'm saying this to understand a guy that I loved. He was my older brother, and I saw him at his best. And I know what he was capable of. I know what he could have done with his life. And he opted, and maybe he didn't have a choice. Life kind of got the better of him, beat him down a little bit. You know, and there's the other thing about parents. You can go through your life bitching about your parents. You can go through life and say, my parents didn't treat me well. Hence, I am really fucked up as an adult. Well, you know what? At some point, man, that stuff just doesn't, you know, no one's given you any points for that. And at some point, people are, move on. I don't care what happened to you. You have to live. And that was my answer for him, because I know that I tried to help him. And my sisters did. And my father did to a degree. My old man recognized, I think, later on in his life, just what a lousy father he was. And on some small scale, tried to make it up. But, you know, too little, too late. And the fact of the matter remains, Ed isn't really, you know, it's ultimately up to Dara. And he decided to just let life sort of roll over top of him. That cat just let life roll right over top of him. And he said to me a year ago when we were there at the VA. And by the way, the doctors at the VA, God bless them. They saved my brother at a time when he could have died. They saved him from becoming a vegetable, man. I mean, this dude was, he was in a semi-conscious, semi-coma state. They had him on that anesthesia as a way of tranquilizing him, probably, you know, to give his body a chance to regenerate a little bit, knowing that it could have a long-term effect, some brain damage. But Dara fought through all of that, man. But these doctors saved his leg. He was going to lose his leg from diabetes. They did it all. And I just want to give a, you know, an acknowledgement. There's so much shit thrown on the Veterans Administration. Those guys in the Valley, in San Fernando Valley, Veterans Administration, saved my brother's life and worked their asses off doing it too. You know, but he said, Dara said to me, why didn't you just let me go, man? You know, when he was at a point where they needed to give him a tracheotomy, they needed to get him breathing. And we said, yes, you know, we said, go for it. My sister did, basically. And Joanne did, because she heard Dara give an affirmative answer to that, sort of like a nod of the head when they asked him, do you want us to give you a tracheotomy? And he said, yeah. And then later he says, he's whispering this because, you know, he has this freaking tube. And he says, why didn't you guys just let me go? And I said to him, well, first of all, you didn't want that. And second of all, that's just not a decision that I'm going to make, man. I mean, I just, you weren't at that state. You weren't at that place for my way of thinking. And well, the way he said that to me, made me think that, you know, that probably could have been a thing Dara would have said at any point in his life. Why don't you just let me go? Why, you know, why am I here? I mean, that's a sad thing, you know, and that's the reality. I don't know, though. I know he had happy days, but I don't know whether or not this was a ongoing thing with him or it was just something that was periodic. But nonetheless, that was the reality. Tonight we're going to have a chat at philhenryshow.com at 9 o'clock Pacific. Tomorrow we have tomorrow we have the Saturday Cinema. We have Elcott on Sunday. And we're back to regular programming with the panel on Monday. And thanks for being there. Thanks for bearing with me here on the Phil Henry Show in this unusual week for us. Phil Henry Show is executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.